It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast. As you know, we are talking real estate right around the UAE and a very special focus on the Dubai property market, available of course on Spotify and Apple, as well as Amazon or wherever you get your podcast from. And it is a Thursday, the 11th day of April for 2024. Hope your week is going well, especially if it has got anything to do with real estate throughout the UAE. And a very good morning to Wayne in Canada, asking about the line in Saudi Arabia. We'll get to the line in just a moment. Nice to have you with us this morning, Wayne. But first, let's go to Tatiana Leskova, who is the Associate Director from S&P Global. And a very good morning to you, Tatiana. I haven't spoken to you for a while. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Thanks for having me, Craig, again.
Now, of course, last time we spoke, you were talking about the cyclical downturn, the slowdown, I think. There's a difference between a slowdown and a downturn, but you were talking about that is probably going to creep into the market. So what's been happening across that space since we last spoke?
Yeah, so I think last time we spoke was a few months ago. And since the last time, the developers that we rate in Dubai have reported their 2023 financials that have been extremely strong. Yet another year of record pre-sales of off-plan properties, very strong cash flow generation, significant improvement in margins for most of them, because they've been able over the past few years to significantly increase the prices, double-digit increases for the past 3 years. So it's paying off for them. So it seems the market is holding up well so far. The early numbers we've seen for January, February, this year also suggests that price increases continue at a slower pace, though. But it seems we have not yet reached the plateau, which is our expectation for the next 12 to 18 months.
So the prices, they're still been creeping up, as you say, but the new project launches, I mean, they don't seem to be slowing down. And that's the critical mass point, isn't it? Where you get too much of the new stock coming on and then you get that cyclical slowdown. Is that the way that you see it?
That's absolutely right. So in terms of new launches, you know, for many years, we've been talking about oversupply issue in Dubai that got eased a little bit in 2020 throughout the pandemic, when the developers did not launch anything or very little. And then they resumed launching starting from 21, and it's been endless. And again, this year, the launches continue. So the major risk we see now is on the supply side. We think that all the new supply may not be fully absorbed by demand, and this will ultimately lead to pricing pressures and rental pressures. And that would kick in over the next, so 25, 26 most likely, because, you know, it usually would take 3 to 5 years to build a project. So if you considered massive launches starting from 21, they would start to kick in 25, 26. So that's when we expect the bulk of the pressure to materialize.
Yeah, because we're constantly talking about what is coming online, and it's just about every week. I think it is every week for sure that we're talking about these new projects. And then off the back of that, we get all of these emails, plenty of people asking about the bubble crashing. Is the bubble going to crash? And they're making these comparisons. They're putting things together with all of the stock that is coming online. You know, it's pretty robust, it has to be said, with so far it just keeps on churning. You say 25, 26, it wouldn't surprise me if we get to, you know, 25 next year, 26. And if the people are still coming in, Tatiana, if that migration is still really sort of boosting those sales, it could sort of alleviate any of those softer cyclical notions that are in the market.
Listen, I think for sure it could soften a little bit, the cyclical correction. Now, Our base case expectation is that the market will slow down over the next 12 to 18 months. But so fundamentally, when you look at the big picture, the macro drivers, they're quite supportive. We have population growth. We expect it to grow at about 3 to 4% in Dubai over the next couple of years. You have very ambitious economic program D33 that plans to double GDP over the next 10 years, by 2030, in fact. You have ambitious demographic plans as well, whereby Dubai wants to raise the population to 5.8 million by 2040 from around 3.5 as of now. So all of this will support all the new visa regimes and so on. This is supportive, of course. But now, real estate is a cyclical sector globally. In Dubai, it's volatile. It's sentiment driven. There's a large exposure to volatile expat population. There's dependence on oil prices, geopolitics, and we do have some tensions in the region. So we've had already 3 years of growth, and we do not think this growth is sustainable in the long run because of the cyclical nature of the industry altogether. The second thing we also factor in is that global economic growth is struggling a little bit. And because the bulk of the population here are expats and it's an open economy, it can also affect the demand. And so the weakness we see is not only on the supply and oversupply issue, but also on the demand side as well.
Yeah, so let's have a look then at the Dubai market in comparison to some of the other markets like Saudi Arabia, etc. What are you seeing and how do you compare Dubai currently where we are in 2024?
So we look at different markets in the region and dynamics are quite different, to be honest. Saudi Arabia, as opposed to Dubai, it has a much higher sensitivity to interest rates, and interest rates are still quite high. If they were to be reduced from the second half of this year, which is our expectation, that would probably alleviate some of the pressure, but this would also probably take time. So we've seen a significant appreciation of real estate in Riyadh. You know, there's a target to almost double the population of Riyadh from around 7 million to 15 million. By 2030. So that's putting a lot of pressure on the prices. There's a lot of domestic migration of people moving to Riyadh, and high interest rates have significantly reduced mortgage transactions. So it's a bit challenging there, but fundamentally when you think about it in the longer run, so the government target to increase the home ownership for Saudis to 70% is one of the major growth drivers. And the introduction of the premium residence visas now in January this year is also something that is expected to increase demand from foreign buyers and will, you know, continue to potentially drive prices up for real estate in Riyadh. And when you think about a different market like Qatar, it's yet another story, because a lot of real estate was built in Qatar for the World Cup at the end of 2022. And now the sector is in a correction mode. The prices are going down, rentals are going down. So there's quite a bit of pressure that we think will extend for at least a couple of years.
And I just want to come back to Saudi Arabia, particularly with those visas that you talk about. So they're sort of opening it up more now so that expats can get in and buy property a lot more easily. How much do you think the competition that Saudi is sort of, you know, saying, waving the flag and saying, hey, things are looking pretty good in Riyadh, we're opening things up a little bit, take a look at us, not necessarily, don't discount us, don't just go to Dubai, we're here, we're open for business.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, the competition between Dubai and Riyadh is in every segment of the real estate. So it's not only residential, it's also commercial with offices. They are offering tax exemptions. They have this regional headquarter program that is attracting a lot of foreign companies to the country as well. But I think if you talk about residential specifically, so it's quite early to say, I think, at this stage. But what we can see is that Dubai is also responding to this. you know, this golden visa does not have a minimum million dirham requirement anymore. While for foreign buyers in Saudi Arabia, there's a minimum requirement. So the property has to be worth at least 4 million riyal and it cannot be mortgaged. So it has to be a cash transaction. And these are, you know, quite demanding requirements that could not all the foreigners could afford this as well.
I wonder, though, whether or not Saudi will look at that and say, you know, we've got to pivot. Look at what the UAE is doing with that golden visa. They have changed that. And it seems strange, doesn't it, that they've changed it with Saudi Arabia opening up a little bit more. And that's one of the things about the local government here is the ability, and we've talked about this on the podcast, they can change. They can look at things, streamline things, improve things much quicker, it seems, than a lot of other countries. And they like to stay ahead of the curve.
That's for sure. The decisions are taken very quickly. They are executed very quickly. And it's competition on many levels. So they're bringing in people to the region. They also, and that's one of the major growth drivers, they're bringing in businesses, and they, you know, they're also competing on who will be the first one to release new regulations for virtual assets, for instance. Now, we see that's a big topic in the region. Another area where we expect more announcements to come is also on sustainability, who will do more on improving the sustainable real estate development, you know, to be more forward-looking and factor in future developments. That's another a new area of development, we think.
I just want to come back to the credit rating in Dubai's real estate sector, which has rebounded, as you said, to pre-COVID levels, with some developers now surpassing those levels. This improved performance comes on the back of strong international demand, which we have covered. So that's pretty good for developers.
Yes, quite remarkable recovery, Dubai specifically, as you rightly pointed out. So we published recently a report when we compared the ratings before COVID to their current level. And basically back in 2020, at the start of the pandemic, we downgraded essentially all real estate companies that we rate in the region, except one. And some of them, Dubai-based developers, are actually recovered so well that their current ratings are above their previous levels pre-pandemic. And it really speaks to the pace of the rebound. I guess we, once Dubai started opening up and people started flowing in here, we expected improvement. But that has really outpaced our wildest dreams. And that's why we have seen actually a series of upgrades for several developers we rate in Dubai.
Great to catch up with you and what's happening outside of the UAE. Enjoy your Thursday and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
It is a problem, first and foremost, so I'll say that straight off the bat. However, I guess it depends where they're buying. Places like Maritime City, where you know there's only one tower that's built and the rest is just sand, is one thing. So obviously there's a lot of space between the one tower and where they're actually building. I mean, that will obviously get closer as the project progresses. However, when you've got areas, for example, like JLT, which is what Michael was alluding to, and indeed JVC, where there's lots of towers around, if you then have one tower that is built up, it can be a big problem. It's perhaps more of a problem from tenants' perspective, because I think tenants feel that they can moan and complain a little bit more than if you've bought something. I mean, once you've made the decision to buy something, you've bought it and that's it. You've got to stick with it. The good news is it is only, I'm going to use the word short, well, maybe medium term, because these towers take 2, 3, perhaps 4 years to be built. So it's not something that the noise is constant for that period of time.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.